We're gonna look this morning in reference to, you have a list of the global prophets. One of them that we're dealing with deals with that of Micaiah, what we want to look at this morning. We find that Micaiah was dealt with Ahab. We have three kings that we'll be looking into when we consider Asa of Judah that reigned for 41 years. He was a good king. He did in the latter part, in the first part, he depended upon the Lord to deliver him from the Ethiopians. And then in the second part, when Samaria was going up against him, the northern kingdom, he appealed to Syria. And God chastised him through the prophets for doing that. You know, you trusted me before, now you're going to a foreign nation to have them come in to help you. But he was a good king. The reason I'm bringing him up is he is the father of Jehoshaphat. We'll be looking in reference to the matter of Ahab. Ahab, we find in James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, where Elijah had prophesied that there would be no rain except at his word. And so we have in James 5, 16 through 18 that identifies the 3.5 years where there was no rain fell in Israel. And that was Elijah dealing with Ahab. Ahab had taken to himself Jezebel, and in writing of 1 Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, it's interesting of how the prophet sets forth this principle. Ahab was the son of Omri, who ruled over Israel. And in verse 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah above all that were before him. That'd be all of the kings of Israel. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And so he emphasizes that not only did he do that which was evil, but he took Jezebel to be his wife. And she was very adamant during that period of time against Elijah. She had slain the prophets of the Lord, except for 100 that had been set aside and hid by one of the servants of Ahab, actually. And so she was adamant not only of the worship that she was involved in with the prophets of Baal and the Asherim, but she was also adamant about ridding the land of the prophets of Jehovah. And so we find that's an area with Jezebel. Jezebel was the one that instituted when Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth, and he tried to buy that vineyard. We find that Naboth wouldn't sell it. Said he couldn't. That part of his inheritance. Couldn't sell it. Couldn't trade it. Couldn't do anything. That was his that he had received through the inheritance. And when my grandsons, what they find out about Ahab, what do you remember about Ahab? Said he pouted a lot. And so Ahab put on the pout. He goes back and Jezebel says, you know, why? Because he wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, wouldn't turn around. It just devastated him. And so when Jezebel asked him as to why he was having that attitude, well, he told her that he wanted Naboth's vineyard and couldn't get it. And she said, well, you're the king of Israel. There's not anything that you can't have. And so she's the one that wrote the letter, had the letter written, signed his name to it, or his seal, that would eventually lead to the death of Naboth. And of course, they had the false accusations that came in against him, that his filthy blasphemy, that sort of thing. And they put him to death. And there it is. There's your vineyard. And then when he met the prophet that dealt with him as a result of what he had done, then we find that he actually turned, and the Lord, because of his repentance, the Lord was merciful to him. It's interesting. Ahab and Manasseh. Ahab was the worst king that the northern kingdom had. Manasseh was the worst king the southern kingdom had. But both of those men, when they repented and turned to the Lord, he was merciful to him. And it's interesting. But Manasseh is the one that was responsible for the fall ultimately the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. And so what we're going to have is we have, in reference to that, of Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahab, and that Ahab had reigned for 3 years before Jehoshaphat came upon the scene. And so we find in dealing with this matter of what transpired between these events, that in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 7, that in the third year of his reign, he sent teachers out. One thing that was good about Jehoshaphat was his desire for the people to know about the Word of God. And so in 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 7, it said, also in the third year of his reign, he sent his princes, even, and he gives all the name of them that are there, and the Levites. And then in verse 9, and they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of Jehovah with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And so here was his desire for the Word of God, because he did give himself to the Word of God. You look at verse 6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of Jehovah, and furthermore, he took away the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. And so he was very adamant in reference to that, of supporting the service to the Lord. And so what we find is what this did. It's interesting to note that as a result of Josiah sending out teaching priests, which is what he did, in verse 10, and the fear of Jehovah fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. As long as Israel, as Judah, as long as they were keeping the laws of the Lord, supporting that of Jehovah, the nations knew they would have no chance at all against Judah. And so it was a fear. When Jehoshaphat was involved within the supporting of that of Jehovah, they knew better than to try to attack Judah and to make war with them. And so it put fear upon them in regards to it. And even the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver and tribute, and so it identified them all with what they were involved in. And he did that. And then in the third year of his reign, we find that in 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, that's what he did the third year. In 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. So what he did was he took his son, and his son married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, which was Adonijah. And she will eventually usurp the throne and will serve for 7 years, because after the death of her son, she killed all of the seed royal in reference to it, except for Joash, and his aunt sold him away, and aunt and uncle kept him hid for 7 years before they brought him out. And so Adonijah will be serving during that period of time. But in this time that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab, after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. Now, we figure that this is a matter of going up, is what we would identify. But he agreed to go with him to Ramoth-Gilead. I have two of them. One of them here, this shows the boundaries of Israel during this, basically this period of time. On the east side, you have Moab, Ammon, and Syria that's up here. But this was an area that had, let's see what I've got here. This is an area that had Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, that they had determined not to go over the Jordan. They wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan because it was good for cattle. They had gone in, and when you have the king of Bashan that went up against him, and who the king was, and defeated that land. Now, all they wanted to do was, we're fixing to cross the Jordan. We're going to the other side. And the king wouldn't allow them to do it, so they beat the king. And then took his land. Basically what transpired. So Reuben, Gad, Manasseh, and they're going to be among the first to fall. They were separated. You know, rivers separate states, nations, and all that separated. So they were over there And they're going to be among the first to fall because they're just following right down of the Armenians or the Syrians that were right above them is what they will be doing. And so in regard to it, Ramoth Gilead, right up here in this area, right there where Manasseh is. And so when Jehoshaphat goes to talk to Ahab, goes up, has to deal with elevation. We say he went down. It's elevation. And so it's proper the way it's mentioned. And so Ahab says, in reference to that property, verse 3, and Ahab the king said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Now, why Jehoshaphat determined to so adamant to have this relationship with Ahab that he had his son marry Ahab's daughter? We're not told, but it appears that he was very interested in the success of the word of God being proclaimed. And later on, he's going to be chastised for his work that he has with Ahab and Ahab's son, actually, when he goes out. So that's the matter that dealt with that. So we find that with Ramoth Gilead, this area over in here, that's also where Elijah was from. And Elijah was the one that dealt with Ahab quite extensively. So that's the situation within what they have. So we find that Jehoshaphat had gone down to Ahab. And it's interesting that in verse 2, after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that were with him, and moved him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab's reception of Jehoshaphat, he had a reason behind that. He worked to get him to go with him. And so he extends this cordial invitation to him, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And he says, will you go with me? And so, you know, when they're basically, when you have the divided kingdom, which is what you have in reference to it, and that's where Bethel, we talked about Dan up there in the far corner. Dan had been, as we've noted, first of all, right over in this little area right here until they moved up north. So from Bethel to Dan and over the Jordan that encompassed the area of Manasseh, which was on that side, or half of Manasseh was on that side. And now they're going to go up and they're going to do battle with that of the Syrians. And so what we have is Jehoshaphat said in verse 4, he said unto the king of Israel, inquire first, I pray thee, for the word of Jehovah. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Shall we go? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of Jehovah besides, that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Jehovah. But I hate him, for he never prophesieth good concerning me, but always evil. He never tells me what I want to hear. He always prophesies evil. Now, we noted a little bit yesterday, I believe that prophet, that man that was of the prophets, that had disguised himself and had met Ahab on the road, and chastised him for letting Ben-Hadad go, said he's going to have problems with him. I believe that was Micaiah. That's just my personal belief. Paul says it was the man of God. But here we find that Ahab said that we have one, but he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil. And therefore we find that he hadn't come in. He said, the same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, and they were sitting in an open place at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, he made him horns of iron and said, thus saith Jehovah, with these shalt thou push the Syrians. And so he puts on this show, we're going to push the Syrians until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for Jehovah will deliver it into the hand of the king. Now that's what the prophets of Baal, that's what Ahab wanted to hear. You know, and they're going to give him what he wants to hear. And they will have this victory over Syria. And the messengers that went to call Micaiah spake him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one mouth. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Let them know, speak good in reference to it. And Micaiah said, if Jehovah liveth, what my God saith, that will I speak. That was, of course, the job of the prophet. To speak the word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. You just speak the word of God. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said to him, this king is Jehoshaphat, said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou speak unto me nothing but the truth in the name of Jehovah? Whatever it was or how it was that Micaiah delivered that message. Yeah, go ahead, go up. The Lord will deliver you. There was something that Jehoshaphat noted that wasn't right. So he said, you tell me what it is the Lord told you. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And Jehovah said, these have no shepherd. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore, hear ye the word of Jehovah. I saw Jehovah sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts upon the of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And Jehovah said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Jehovah and said, I will entice him. And Jehovah said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt entice him, and shalt prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, Jehovah hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and Jehovah hath spoken evil concerning thee. And Zedekiah, who was one of the prophets of Baal, he came near and he smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of Jehovah from me? Because it said that he spoke as had been directed. Has Jehovah from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. You'll see then. And the king of Israel said, take him, Micaiah, and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. You go put him in jail. He spoke evil against me. It's always interesting. Jehoshaphat said, bring him. To bring him, he's going to end up in jail. It's kind of one of those deals that says, hey, you called me, okay? And you asked in that regard, and now I'm going to jail and going to feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace, until Ahab does. And Micaiah says, if thou return at all in peace, Jehovah has not spoken by me. And he said, hear ye peoples, all of you. Understand, if he returns at all, Jehovah hasn't spoken by me. And so we have the battle that's set forth, and Ahab, he had a plan, as identified over in verse 2 and 3. He had a plan before Jehoshaphat ever got there as to how this was going to turn out. And so when the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead, the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. So here is Jehoshaphat, that he's out there with the kingly garments that are on. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they turned about to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out, and Jehovah helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew his bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Wherefore he said to the driver of the chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am sore wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about the time of the going down of the sun, he died. Now here was the death of Ahab, and Micaiah called and said, if you come back at all, I haven't spoken by the word of Jehovah. And this was the demise that was going to come upon Ahab. And Micaiah, as a result of that, he ended up in being fed with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. And so these prophets, as we've noted, we have the literary prophets, but here's one that's an oral prophet. Here's what he was told to do, and here's what he did. And that's what we find with each and every one of these. And this fellow that killed Ahab, the avenger, it was just a shot in the dark, shot in the air. That's all it did. And that arrow hit him right square in the back and took his life. And so that was the events that took place with Micaiah. All right. Have any questions or comments on this event? What would you do? What would you do? That the Lord indicated that were not prophets nor sons of prophets. Understand that neither was Amos, but the Lord told him, no. What would you do? Lord, if you had in the situation of what you do, what you may find yourself in, not in that capacity with the king, but you may find that in a capacity with one of your friends, somebody you know, what would you tell them? Would you speak what the word of God says, or would you acquiesce as all of those reports? How could that many prophets be wrong? And here's one guy that says no good. What would you do? But the people that you talk to, you're going to be outnumbered in reference to your moral doctrine as a chance with ethical moves. With that, what the Lord would have you to do, what the Lord wouldn't have you to do, how would you respond? That's a question that we have to ask. Because it's interesting, writing of James, here was a statement made. Some folks have tried to attribute to Elijah that he was of spirit. Because he, you know, when he was taken, it's interesting. Said, yeah, just so you know. How was Elijah taken away? How was he taken?
In the world.
In the world. Good. Between the chariots, it was not a matter, he didn't go up in a chariot. They'll tell you that Elijah was taken off in a chariot. He wasn't taken in a chariot. And so we find that he was taken up in the whirlwind. All right, wherever I was going with that, I don't know. So anyway, we find that we have to consider, I mean, these examples are given to us. We go to James, in James chapter 5, individuals say, because No indication. You have in chapter 16, actually chapter 17, the king of where Elijah comes and he deals with Ahab when he had already told him it's not going to rain. And when he was taken up, he didn't die like all men do. And they say, well, he was an angel or he was something other than just a man. But in James, we find it, verse 17, Elijah was a man of like passion with us. He was just a man. That's all he was just a man. And so he had those responsibilities to fulfill, and as it was that when he went to Horeb, after Jezebel had said that he was going to suffer the same as the prophets of Baal that he had killed or had killed on Mount Carmel, then he goes to Horeb, and first of all we have the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and then the still small voice. But basically, you know, Elijah says, I'm no better than my father. No better than my father. Might as well die. I and I alone am left. And the Lord said, I have 7,000, haven't bent the knee to Baal. Go to work. You got work to do. So you go and you anoint Hazael, who was a servant of Ben-Hadad. Hazael is eventually going to kill Ben-Hadad. You anoint Hazael as king over Syria. You anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And you anoint Elisha in your stead. And that's what he did. You know, and so he was both, he actually didn't anoint Jehu, but it was through that process that was to come about. So Elijah, he was just a man of like passion. He had his problems. Had his difficulties, I'll say problems, he had those difficulties dealing with people. And so we have him. We may look at him later on, and we'll see how it goes. Okay? So that's what was going on. That's Micaiah. That's what he did. He stuck with the Word of God regardless of the consequences associated with it. And that's what even Jehoshaphat wanted him to do. What's interesting about Jehoshaphat, you look at the writing of Matthew chapter 1. Jehoshaphat made an affinity with Ahab, so Jehoshaphat's son married Adoniah, the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. And she was from up there, Sidon. Sidon, Tyre and Sidon. Her father was up in the area of Phoenicia, up in there, Bethel, I believe is what they call him. He adopted the name of Baal. You know, a lot of them would do that, whoever it is they served, and he served him. And so it was up in there. And that's what the prophet said. Not only did he do all this evil in Israel, but he took to wife Jezebel. And there's very few parents that will name their children, their daughter Jezebel. You know, we understand. There may be some, I don't know. That do that. But that's where she was from. And so she had stirred him up on more than one occasion. That's what the scriptures identify, that she would stir him up in reference to it. Jezebel, that when Jehu came, after Jehu, who had been given the responsibility to deal with the son of Jezebel, the king, and to kill him, he did what he was supposed to do, and he enjoyed it. That's what the Lord held him responsible for. You enjoyed it. You enjoyed, not only did you do, he commended him for what he did. You did what I told you to do. I commend you for that. But boy, once he got through, then he turned against the king of Judah. Turned against him. But they're related, mind you, through this affinity that Ahab and Jehoshaphat had through that marriage to Adoniah. When you look at the genealogy in Matthew of that of the Lord, that goes from that of Abraham right on down to Joseph and to the Lord. You deal with that genealogy. When you get down to verse 8, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Jehoram, and Jehoram begat Uzziah. All right? Now, between Jehoram and Uzziah, you have Ahaziah, Adaliah, as she ruled, usurped that authority. You have Joash, Amaziah, or that of Uzziah, lived 15 years after his father's death. Amaziah did. So he was a co-regent with that of Joash. But you have these kings. You have Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, that are not in this genealogy. They're not in there. But they are descendants of Ahab. They're descendants in that particular process. And so it's not until after, like, that third generation has dissipated, that he picks up the genealogy again with Uzziah. And Uzziah was one that had, I think he started out good, but over a period of time he got bold, and he even went into the temple. He was going to burn incense in the temple. He went in. Now, he may be king of Judah, but he had no right burning the incense. And so he goes in, and the priests are trying to, say, this doesn't pertain to you. Can't do this. God struck him with leprosy, and so he was a leper the rest of his life. But boy, once that leprosy came upon him, they were shoving him out the doors. Okay? And so his son ruled in his stead, basically. But that happened with Uzziah. That's kind of a side note that we have there. All right. What I want to do, if there's nothing else on Amaziah or on Micaiah, what I want to do is look, 2 Chronicles 18, that's what we had with Micaiah. I want to look at the young prophet, the 1 Kings chapter 13. You familiar with what happened with the young prophet? We find that in reference to this, the matters of the divided kingdom, we have in reference to this of what God did, what the prophet had said to that of Jeroboam. Jeroboam, he was a servant of Solomon that we find in chapter 11 of 1 Kings. He was a servant of Jehovah. And we have here another prophet, a oral prophet, Ahijah. And he comes to him. Ahijah was a Shilonite. Pronunciation of it, but he was a Shilonite, so he's from that particular area. And so we find that he comes to Rehoboam, and he tells him in reference in verse 28, then the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon saw the young man that he was industrious, and he gave him charge over all the labor of the house of Joseph. That's the effort that he did there. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. And Ahijah had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah laid hold on the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take these 10 pieces. For thus saith Jehovah the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped the Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh or Moloch, is Chemosh is Moloch's counterpart, the god of Moab, and Milcom, or that of Moloch, the god of the children of Ammon. And they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and keep my statutes and my ordinances as David, his father, had done. So he said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from Solomon. So Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and here's a lesson of what we can learn. When he said that I'm not, people came and wanted a little relief from the taxes. And he said, I'm just, you think my dad taxed you, you wouldn't like it. It'd be like a scorpion to do that. And so the people said, not having it. Jeroboam, who had gone to Egypt, now he comes back and he takes it as the king of Israel. And that division from Bethel to Dan will be the kingdom that Jeroboam is going to be over. And we find that in that particular part, here's what the Lord told Jeroboam. You look in verse... What was the problem that Saul had with David? But what was Saul, first king, what was he?